May I speak in the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, did anyone have a go at the jigsaw as you came in? Anyone? Michael did? Oh, quite a few. Did you find a piece? Well done. It's fun, isn't it? Edward and I actually had really good fun yesterday doing the bulk of it, so it's not too complicated. Generally, I'm the kind of person who enjoys the first bit, you know, finding the frame. That's nice and easy. And I enjoy the last bit, the sort of the last 10 pieces, because suddenly you know exactly where everything's going. In the middle, I lose patience. I admire people who do these 5,000-piece jigsaws, and they just love it. They can sit there for half an hour contemplating which piece might go where. Find that hard. The Christian journey is essentially about who we are becoming. We follow Jesus and we become more like him. And I find this interesting because naturally we tend to focus on what people are doing. When you are introduced to someone new, I bet that one of the first questions you ask or will be asked will be, What do you do? Maybe we should try a different question. Something such as, who's your role model? Or even, who are you becoming? And they'll be properly weirded out, I can tell you that. When we follow Jesus, God begins to transform us by his Holy Spirit. If we let him, he'll make us more and more like Jesus. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is about, which we are exploring in our current sermon series. And by the way, previous talks can be found on our website, denhamparish.church, and then click on resources. You can also find the news sheet there and other things. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, and today, patience and gentleness. The two are closely related. What are the things that try your patience? It might be doing a big jigsaw. It might be waiting for something exciting to happen. Children have gone now, but I bet you for them it's waiting for the presents at Christmas. I'm sure Edna won't mind. I didn't ask her beforehand if I share that little story of you in the weeks leading up to Christmas when you were a little child. Edda was just rummaging around the house, trying to find what her parents had hidden for her, what her Christmas presents would be. It's hard to wait. You know the present is in the house, but you don't know what it is. It might be waiting for the results of a medical test. And you're worried. What will be the verdict? When I was turning 40, I had a standard medical procedure and it had to be abandoned because the doctor said there might be a serious complication which might be life-threatening. And so between that day and then having the tests and then getting the results, I had this week of uncertainty. What's going to happen? It was trying my patience. But it also forced me to reevaluate my priorities. What's really important in life to me? And that was one of the key experiences that actually at that point set me on the path to becoming a vicar. By the way, the results were all good, and I'm still here. I sometimes forget to tell that part of the story. And then people say after church, so what was the outcome? But the result is not always good. And in that intermediate time, we need patience. If we allow God, everything that happens to us can be an opportunity to become more and more the person that God created us to be, even and sometimes especially the hard times, where we need patience. Someone once said, when you're gone, no one will remember what you said or what you did, only who you were. In our second reading today, we meet Peter, Peter, of course, one of the 12 disciples. And from everything we know about him, patience and gentleness weren't his strong points. He was impulsive, always the first in the queue, always challenging others. The first out of the boat when Jesus walked towards them in a storm. The first one to check out the tomb on that first Easter day. His friend John actually was the better athlete. He was the faster runner. So John was there first, but he didn't go in straight away into the tomb. But Peter catches up, I'm sure, huffing and panting, and straight into the tomb to check out what the situation was. When we lack patience, sometimes we're trying to bend the world to our own will. And that's exactly what Peter does. Jesus says to his friends, he will have to go up to Jerusalem and there be killed. But Peter has different plans for Jesus. So he says, never, this shall never happen to you, Jesus. And Jesus in turn rebukes him with very stern words for seeing only the human picture rather than God's. A little later, Peter announces grandly that if Jesus will have to die, he is ready to die with him. If Jesus is so set on dying in Jerusalem, Peter will be at his side. Well, you know how the story ends. First, Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will have denied me three times. And that's what happens. Ouch. Peter, the gentle and patient one, not a chance. And yet, when we read the letters that we have from him, by him, in our Bible, the letters to the early church, we see a different Peter, encouraging the Christians to be patient in suffering, teaching them to tell others the good news of Jesus with gentleness. So what's happened? I believe the key moment of change, is Jesus' conversation with Peter after the resurrection that we've just heard a few moments ago. It's Jesus' gentleness and patience with Peter that makes the difference. Three times Peter has denied his Lord. Three times Jesus gently asks him, "Do you love me, Peter?" And then, "Look after my sheep." We know from the gospel accounts how frustrated Jesus sometimes was with his disciples. They were so slow on the uptake. They got it wrong again and again and again. Sometimes he says, "Do you still not understand?" But patiently, he takes them along. He teaches them again. He gives them another chance. In Jesus, we see God's patience with us. And that is truly good news. God's patience runs like a thread through the whole Bible. One of the most common verses in the Old Testament describes God like this: "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." Slow to anger, patience. You may know the story of Jonah. God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh and to tell them, "If you don't turn from your evil ways and return to me, I will destroy your city." And after a lengthy detour that involves a big fish, Jonah finally follows that call. He goes to Nineveh. He delivers the message. And then something amazing happens. The people of Nineveh do repent and return to God, and their city is saved. And do you remember how Jonah responds? He sulks. He was so looking forward to the fireworks. What's the fun in being a prophet of doom if doom never happens? He says, "I knew it. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that you were patient and forgiving." That's what God is like. patient and forgiving, yearning for each of his children to return, leaving the 99 and going after the one lost sheep. Patience and forgiveness go hand in hand, and we'll come back to that later. Jesus' conversation with Peter at the end of John's Gospel is such a beautiful, gentle expression of his forgiveness. Three times you've denied me, Peter. Three times I give you the chance to express your love for me. Three times I confirm the calling that I have for you. Look after my sheep. And so it's not surprising that Peter writes about God, the gentle and patient shepherd, in his letters. 1 Peter 2, verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Or in 1 Peter chapter 5, he writes to church leaders, and he says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, not lording it over them. Peter has learned patience and gentleness because Jesus has been patient with him. He writes to the church, the Lord is not slow in returning. No, he's patient, and he wants everyone to come to repentance. This is the God that we see in Nineveh. This is the God who in Jesus reinstates Peter as a leader in his church. Simon Peter, do you love me? This is the God who is patient with you and me and wants us to show his patience and gentleness to others. In the New Testament, patience can have two related meanings. The first one is patience in the face of suffering, something the early Christians experienced, the people that Peter wrote to in his letters, and of course, millions of Christians experience this still today, hardships, persecutions. Last week, I was at the Oxford Diocesan Clergy Conference, 250 vicars in one room. What fun that was. And one of the speakers at the conference was Archbishop Angelos of the Coptic Church. Most Coptic Christians, as I'm sure you know, live in Egypt. And many churches there have been attacked, destroyed. Many Christians have lost their lives. Yet, he told us how they respond with gentleness and forgiveness. What a testimony. Many families, before they leave their home to go to church, gather round and pray together and commit their lives to God, because they don't know whether they'll return alive. This kind of patience is a perseverance in the face of suffering, without wanting to get our own back, revenge, retaliation. Older translations of the Bible call it long-suffering. It's the ability to forgive those who persecute us, those who have done immense damage to us, as Stephen Lawrence's father has 25 years later. It's a fruit of the Spirit, which is supernatural and beautiful. 2,000 years earlier, Peter encourages Christians who suffer hardship and persecution by saying, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's the first meaning, the first shade of meaning of the word patience, long-suffering. The second one is much more a day-to-day reality for all of us. It can be translated as forbearance. Patience as forbearance. It's the ability not to get angry or aggressive when other people annoy us, but respond gently instead. And I see a few smiles, and I think, oh yeah, that's more my reality. I get that. The ability not to get angry or aggressive when other people annoy us, but respond gently instead. Now, gentleness can be firm. It's not letting people walk all over you, as Jesus shows in his gentle but firm conversation with Peter. But it's never angry or aggressive. People are annoying. Have you noticed? And often the more we know someone, the more annoying they can get. Yes. Sometimes at a wedding service, at a marriage service, I tell the story of an elderly couple who've been married happily for many, many, many years. Choir, forgive me, you will have heard this many times. And someone says to the lady, "What's the secret of your long and happy marriage?" And she says, "Oh, you know, when we got married, I made a decision. I made a decision to write the 10 most annoying things about my husband on a piece of paper. And I made the decision that every time he was going to do one of those 10 things, I was going to forgive him." And the person says, "That's amazing. Can I be nosy? Can you tell me what these 10 things were?" And she says, "Oh, do you know? I never actually got down to writing them down. Every time he annoys me, I say, 'Oh, that'll be probably one of those 10 things.'" Patience, gentleness, forgiveness. And here is a shocking revelation. Although we are Christians, we can still be pretty annoying. Vicars can annoy their church members. Church members can annoy their vicars. Church members can annoy each other. I read the other day of a church in which parishioners objected to their priest's attempt to install toilets in a medieval church building. And one of the reasons they gave was, "Toilets attract children." Now, how can you not get annoyed about that? I thank God that we don't have that problem. But we're human. I know I will have tried your patience. And sometimes, only sometimes, some of you try my patience. You might have heard the old poem, "To dwell in love with saints above, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, ah, that's a different story." The reason why Peter became such a patient and gentle shepherd was that Jesus showed him the depths of his own shortcomings and then healed him with gentleness and patience. How about our own shortcomings? How about the times when we've let people down, hurt people, the near misses, where something nearly went badly wrong? I know that given 5 minutes, a piece of A4 paper and a pen, my list would be long and the one sheet of paper wouldn't be enough. Here but for the grace of God go I. The antidote to our lack of patience and gentleness is the same as it was for Peter. To recognize how we fall short of God's standards, and then bring our sin and our brokenness and hypocrisy to Jesus and to receive his forgiveness, won for us on the cross, again and again, just like Peter. And you know, that will cultivate deep thankfulness in us. And that thankfulness will keep the weeds out, the weeds of superiority and bitterness and keeping a record of wrongs and a critical spirit. Christopher Wright says this: "Humility comes a lot easier when you really know yourself, when you know the weak and flawed person who is living inside the shell you have on the outside. And then out of that deep well of self-knowledge and gratitude for the grace of God that has rescued me from my own sin and failure comes humility before God and gentleness and patience towards others. In the Greco-Roman culture of Jesus' day, gentleness and humility were not highly valued. They weren't seen as virtues, quite the contrary, especially among men. Real men were strong, powerful, and dominant. And it's interesting to read several historians, philosophers, and theologians who say only Jesus and the influence of the Christian message, along with the presence of God's Spirit, have created the acceptance of gentleness and patience as a virtue. Groundbreaking change. But it seems to me that in our day, the cultural winds are changing again. That survival of the fittest and might is right are celebrating a comeback on so many levels. In homes, streets, communities, countries, around the world, on the internet, in cars, through road rage, the list goes on and on. You and I are called to sing a different tune, to let God's Spirit grow his fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. I want to finish with a prayer that is based on words by Malcolm Duncan, whom some of you may know. He was until recently the senior pastor of Gold Hill Baptist Church, just up the hill. Let's pray. Lord, I'm letting go. I'm giving you sorrows I cannot bear. Fears that I should not carry. And hurts that have weighed me down. As I hold my open palms before you, I'm releasing everything that is in my hands into your care. I know that to be empty-handed is to be free. Fill me more and more with your patience and gentleness. Amen.